welcome to an all-new episode of Married to the Collection, right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Coming to you on a Friday. Friday, which isn't Tuesday in any way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, things did not go our way this week for anything at all. They spent lots of time with me putting up fencing in the backyard to keep a cat in the yard. But we won't talk too much about the cat because apparently one person is tired of hearing about the cat and he is dead to me, so.
Really?
Yes.
Who's that?
Sean Roussel. Right? That's what I said.
Well, that's funny because I just said that to you like an hour ago that you said you had told me you were talking to somebody at work about the cat. And I'm like, nobody wants to hear about the cat anymore.
Well, more like we don't want to talk about the cat anymore.
No, it's taken care of. She's outside now. She can't get out. She's pissed about it. But
oh, yes, she is.
She's
angry.
Been outside all day. She's loved every minute of it, even though she's mad that she can't get out.
Yep.
It took us probably 15 hours to install the fence over 2 days.
Oh, God, it was horrible.
No joke. I'm not exaggerating.
Horrible.
But it's up. It doesn't look the greatest, but it's effective. That's all.
We are going to tell one story.
Are we?
One story.
What?
So, Sunday, we start putting it up. We worked together, but I worked. We were outside all day from like.
It was like 10 o'clock until dark.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes, it was. And we still didn't finish. We didn't even get.
No, we had to go back out there Monday night.
And finish
again, and we were out there Monday night until dark again.
Right, but we put up most of the netting on one side. And then on Monday, you let the cat outside on your lunch.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
I forgot about this.
Already. You let the cat out on your lunch while you were cutting some strips of...
Right. I was outside with her. Like,
I let
her out with me while I was working on fence stuff.
Because
I knew you were going to come home after work. And we were going to work on it, but I wanted to get some of it started.
Right.
And I came in, 2 minutes I was inside doing something.
Yes.
And my lunch was about ready to be over, so I went out to get her to make her come back in because I wasn't going to let her stay out there by herself.
Right.
And she was gone.
Yes, in 2 minutes' time, she was gone.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, we found her, whatever. She's home. So, no more cat stories.
No. Although it was pretty funny because you got that you called me and you were so pissed.
Oh my God, I was so mad.
You were like, all I could do is sit there and shake my head because you were like, "Cat's gone." I'm like,
and
I'm thinking, what the hell is she doing outside? The fence isn't even done.
I know, and I kept saying it's my fault. It's my fault. I let her out there with me, and then I was going to make her come in and whatever. And I didn't know who I wanted to kill more, you, because you were the one that wanted the damn cat, or the cat. But anyways, you came home, you found her, she was in the neighbor's yard, even though I had looked over there 7 times already.
Right. I walked over there, first thing I did, came home, walked over there, looked behind the bushes, because I can see through them, and I see the shape of a cat. And I'm like, what are you doing in there? And all I heard was this telltale, meow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know it's you, come here.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. But it's good, it's all good, we fixed it, so.
So Dave and I talked about the possibility that you and I had about going to an Indiana auction as this airs, we would have been going to an Indiana auction. And we decided against that. We should tell people why. We may have talked about it slightly.
We did. We talked about it.
But the Carter Toy Museum, which was a museum in Indiana, the owner passed away. The family didn't want to continue it, so they, you know, basically gave it to an auction house to auction the contents and everything within. And some of the contents in there were fiberglass representations of Disney characters used in the Disney stores, I'm guessing. We are not sure where exactly they came from. But, and of course, there was a Goofy. And you're like, oh my God, I want that Goofy. I want that Goofy. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll go.
Right.
You know, and I told you, I'm like, no, understand, he's probably not going to be cheap.
No, I knew that. But this was several months ago.
Right.
And we had asked for the day off.
Yes.
To go, and just things have not worked our way.
No, not at all.
Between the cat fence and the dog's eye and everything else, we really can't afford it. So.
Yeah.
I don't, again, this goes back to last week. I don't need him.
Okay.
Maybe he'd be nice to have.
Exactly.
But again, I don't even know how we'd even get him home. We'd have to drive the truck, and I don't know if the truck could even make it 3 hours, so.
No, I think the truck would be fine.
It's not a big deal.
Are you sad that we're not going?
Not really.
No.
I don't know. I do not enjoy sitting at an auction for 5 hours.
Right.
which is why most of the time I make Dave go to auctions with you. I'm more of a flea market yard sale girl. Yes. I do not like sitting there. The last one I went with you was okay because it was comfortable. They had comfortable chairs.
Right.
I took the newspaper from that day and read it.
Right.
But I don't enjoy spending my entire day sitting in an auction.
Yeah, I know.
So I really didn't want to.
Which sucks because there's a really cool one on Saturday that has a ton of old board games that I would love to go to. But again, it's 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And it's like, son of a bitch, why does all this cool stuff have to be 3-4 hours away? It's like, I want to go, but I don't want to go that bad.
Because it's an entire day. You go, yeah. You have to sit and wait for them to get to the one item you want.
Yeah.
You may or may not get it, and then you drive home. It's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
The amount of gas that you would spend to go to get this, what is it, the ghost thing?
There's a Green Ghost game, there's a Haunted
Mansion
game.
Which was on Toy Hunter, right?
Yeah, which was on Toy Hunter, which I've seen before. I'd seen plenty of times before it was on Toy Hunter, and I was always
so
like...
wouldn't it be cheaper if you wanted it that bad to just buy it on eBay, maybe?
No.
Watch for it?
People ask ridiculous prices for it.
Okay, but you're going to drive 3 hours to an auction and 3 hours home. How much gas is
exactly.
that?
I mean, so, in the end, it's just like, it'd be cool, but whatever. There are a bunch of flea markets and garage sales and everything this weekend, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting because I'm guessing this is going to be pretty much the end of it for the year garage sale flea market wise.
Right, weather wise.
Yeah, we do have, you know, our local flea market that happens every weekend will be moving inside. I'm not sure where, like here soon, but I know they're going to be moving inside, which should be interesting. I don't know, we'll see. I kind of want to go out, and I kind of don't, like... We've got Friday off. Saturday, we're free. Sunday, we're free. And it's just like, I don't know what I want to do. It's like, I just kind of want to relax.
Well, yeah, because this last weekend was pretty much...
Run, 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 go, go, go.
Literally, for me, run, run, run.
Yeah, exactly, because you ran the Beast Mode Challenge here in town, which was a obstacle course, which was a 4.5-mile obstacle course. What was it, 22 obstacles?
I think they said 20 or 21.
And
obstacles.
While we were waiting for you to start, somebody asked them, how long does it take to do it? And one guy was like, well, the fastest time we've had to finish this has been 45 minutes. And you looked at me and you were like, oh, my God.
I was like, I think I mouthed, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were going to be waiting for me for a while.
Yeah. So you started, and I wandered over to where I could see you coming out at the end. Sat in the grass and played with weeds for an hour and 20 minutes.
At least it was nice outside.
True.
It was beautiful.
I would have played on my phone, and my phone died.
Well.
I was like, oh. Technically, I could have just come home.
Right, because we literally
watched TV and then gone back.
We were like three minutes away, maybe.
Yeah, like literally nothing. But I didn't think about that. I'm like, oh, then I have to pay to park again. And I don't want to do that. It's ridiculous. So I sat there and waited for you, and you come running out and... finished the race, crawled through the barbed wire mud, and your shirt got caught because you weren't low enough.
Because my knees hurt.
I know. Well, let's tell them one of the obstacles you first start was as you're running through the first little section, it's an open section, and they're firing paintballs at your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you get hit with a paintball?
Right on the outside of my left knee.
And how bad did it suck?
Pretty bad. Like, almost to where I was almost like, fuck it, I'm done. But then I'm like, okay, I paid for this. I've been working hard to do this. I'm going to keep going. But I didn't know, like, that you could get hit with paintball without wearing protective gear. Like, most of the time I see people playing paintball, they're wearing head to toe.
Right.
We didn't have any of that.
No.
And it hurt.
You still got a nice little welt there.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it's going down, though.
I didn't even... 10 seconds into the race.
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't know what had happened. I just felt something. I mean, it hurt. And I was like, what the hell was that? And I looked down, and it was a big orange splotch. And
You're like, Jesus Christ.
My God. I'm like, okay. Just keep going. It'll be fine. Just shake it off. Shake it off.
That small point in the back of your head was just like, nobody said they were going to fire shit at me. This is bullshit.
Yeah. I didn't hear anybody else around me, like, yelling that they were getting hit or anything. I don't know. Maybe they were. You couldn't, like... It wasn't that you were trying to, like, hide from... There was nowhere to go. Like, you just had to run.
You should have run in a serpentine motion.
Serpentine. Yeah. I don't know. So
Or zigzag. Been like, yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
And so, of course, you were sore all week long.
Yeah. Until about yesterday.
It was funny, too, because the next day, when you woke up and got out of bed, you literally could not raise... I had to dress you.
I... Yeah. My...
I had to dress my wife because she could not get her hands over
my
her head.
My armpits were so sore because, like, half of the obstacles were upper body related. Yes. Like, you had to pull yourself up and over things. My armpits were so sore, I could not lift my arms up, like, past my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was like, you have to put my shirt on for me. I can't even... You have to help me.
I was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
And then you went to sweep the floors, and you were like, ah, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things I tried to do Sunday and Monday I couldn't do. I was like, wow, I didn't know you had to use your armpit muscles to do this.
It was good times.
Yeah.
It was pretty enjoyable.
As much as I complain about it, I would do it again in a heartbeat. Mm. I loved it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I made the proclamation 2 weeks ago on Damon DeVall's. And, of course, we haven't spoken since two episodes ago now, David DeVall, since we didn't record on Sunday. But I had told Dave that, we had talked on the last episode about me just getting rid of eBay off my phone so I wasn't tempted.
Right.
And, you know, I pulled it off my phone and got rid of it. And,
right.
You
can still look at it on the laptop.
Technically, I can, but I won't.
Okay.
Because I told Dave, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not getting on eBay for 4 months.
4 months? Why 4 months? What's 4 months?
Just 4 months. Seemed like a good number. Okay.
But you didn't even make it, you didn't even get 2 days past my 30-day challenge.
You broke that rule, not me.
No, I broke it, and then you broke it like 4 times after that.
Well, once it's broke, it's broke. There's no chance fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well.
Okay.
And what's funny is people keep sending me eBay links of stuff. Like,
what? Stop doing it.
Like, I don't, either they don't know or they just, like, didn't understand it. But people will send me, like, hey, look at this item on eBay. And I'm like, ah, I can't. Leave me alone. I don't want to look at the something on eBay. I don't want to. Although the sad thing was, I told Dave, I was like, there are some things downstairs that I want to sell. And I'm like, I don't know if I should just list them on eBay or if I should list them on Craigslist and try to get somebody around here to buy them. Because I'm like, there's stuff that I want to get rid of, but...
Yeah, Craigslist, you don't have to pay to list things, do you?
No.
Well, there you go.
But then you have to set up a meeting place, like, you know, in daylight, in a crowded place, so you don't get shanked by some crazy bastard.
Yeah, that's true.
Some crazy Craigslist killer. Hi, would you like to buy my Wayne Gretzky doll? Oh, God, he stabbed me! Oh, Jesus Christ, why? Why? It's Wayne. So, yeah, I haven't felt the need or the itch or... You know, none of that. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me get through what's down there, flea market finds, and, you know, we've looked at some upcoming auctions.
Yeah.
That, you know, you found one that had my Inspector Gadget.
I did.
Figure that I wanted, and mm-hmm. I'm going to watch
it's
the
It's online, right. Yep. I wouldn't have showed you if I didn't want you to know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch it, and if I can
win it bad you want that, thought, you know what, if we get lucky, and maybe nobody will bid on, you know, who knows? Like all that Disney stuff we got from cheap, you just never know.
Yeah, you never know what
maybe
someone's
nobody will
bid
on
what
it, and
on.
You can get it for $5 or something. Who knows?
It's one of those things where you never know until you either go or watch an online auction. Like a live online auction, not an eBay auction, but a live one where you can actually hear the auctioneer, which is always fun, which was fun for us the first time we did it because you can hear the auctioneer. You can hear them calling the lots out and stuff, and it's still kind of fun because you're like, I'm kind of there, but I'm in the comfort of my own home on a couch. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, like the last one I watched, I won, you know, that ElfQuest board game.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you know, again, nobody really bid on the ElfQuest game, and I got it for really cheap, and... Hoping, fingers crossed, because there's a couple of odd things in there that nobody cares. And they're just like, eh. You know, I'm hoping somebody looks at that and goes, Inspector, what? Which would make me go, yes, excellent.
Maybe.
I'm hoping. Hoping against hope.
Yeah. I knew it was something that you had talked about before that you really wanted. So
yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, this has got to be what he...
Yep.
This has got to be it.
And you were right. That was exactly what it was. And, of course, Dave went to Toy Man, which we talked about on David DeVall's this week. Which apparently was the best toy show Toy Man has ever had. Like, better than their Christmas show last year, which was pretty expansive. I was kind of sad. I was like, oh, but he didn't spend all his money. He actually came home with money. So, kind of proud of him for that little point. Kind of. No, I was. I was very happy. I was like, well, that's cool. You know, he bought, like, maybe 4 things, and that was it. And he's like, there was plenty there. He's like, but it was just stuff that, you know, he was sending me pictures of stuff that he knows that I would have bought, like loose cops figures and the animal puppet he bought at the last Kane County he and I went to, they had one of those there that I was like, oh, if I'd have known that was a puppet, I would have bought it. You know, stuff like that. But Kane County's coming up. I'm excited about Kane County. Kane County should be fun. I wish that you would go with us to Kane County because I think you would enjoy it.
No.
Not at all, huh? Not even the slightest?
I don't want to drive 4 hours to go to a toy show. That's not fair. To mention, you guys are talking about going up the night before and spending the night.
Right.
Okay, so...
What do we do with the animals?
Right.
Right. Because my mother will no longer be living in the state of Illinois at that point.
Correct.
That's awesome. Boy, that puts a lockdown on many things that we have planned until we can figure out an alternative, doesn't it?
Yep.
I think we're going to have to somehow move past your... sadness of leaving them by themselves and having people just come over and check
on them. It's not so much sadness, it's I just worry.
Right.
That's all.
Well, it's partially sadness too. There are days when we'll pull out of the driveway and you'll be like, can't look, because they're sitting in the window watching.
Well, yeah, they're sitting in the window, their faces pressed up against it like, where are you going? You know, I mean, I'm glad to get away from them, but it makes me feel bad that they're like, hey.
I know. This youngest one's sitting on the floor over here itching. While alternatively looking at me going, and I'm like, come here, try to get him, come here. And he's just like, what? Silly buddies. Our crazy animals, which apparently he who is dead to me does not like to hear about. That's right. I got a text message from him today that said, guess who listened to the podcast on time this week? And I'm like, man, sorry. No one's tell you. He's like, well, Dave threw him under the bus.
Oh.
Because I was like, well, that's what happens. Like, don't tell Dave things. You get thrown under buses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been. I don't know. It's the toy thing for me is getting to a point where it's like we've talked about before. It's just I have too much stuff, and while there's still, you know, I still want to go to shows and stuff because that's still fun for me to go to shows to see what dealers are selling, to see what stuff's selling for, maybe to find, you know, those odd unique items every once in a while, but. I don't know. I walk through the toy aisles now. Like, if I go to Toys R Us or Walmart or something on my lunch to pick up groceries, or if I'm just killing time and I walk through the aisles, I'm like, there's nothing here that interests me. I mean, there's cool stuff. Like, NECA's got a whole new wave of Gremlins.
Yeah, but the stuff in the stores hasn't really interested you in a while.
No.
Has it?
Not at all. You know, I even watched the new Turtles cartoon Saturday, which premiered last weekend, and... even though the figures have been out and, you know, the sites reviewed pretty much most of them, you know, whether it's BC Direct or whether it was me reviewing the odds and ends, I would probably buy the four Turtles and that would be it. Because there's nothing else in that line that really makes me go, ooh, you know. And new toy-wise, like you said, there's nothing that really, like, we saw the Hanna-Barbera stuff from Jazzwares and I was so disappointed in just seeing it that I'm just like, it's Jazzwares and it's ugly. Like, they're horrible. They've got weird cuts for articulation and...
You didn't like their voices.
I didn't like the voices and some of the talking ones. They have Nickelodeon ones out now from Jazzwares, the same style, like Rugrats and stuff like that. They'll just look awful. They look horrible. And it's just like, you know, some of the stuff I would have been really cool about, really interested in, but you see it face-to-face, in person, and you're like... really?
Well, maybe in 10 years we'll see it at a yard sale.
Probably. But it's hard to say with what you're going to see. I mean, think about what... Like I was thinking about the other day, kids are majorly still into all, you know, Ben 10, Bakugan. We see a lot of that stuff at flea markets and garage sales. Mm-hmm. Now it's like you're going to, in 10 years...
Pokemon.
In 10 years, that stuff's just going to be everywhere. And none of that stuff interests me. It's just I don't care. All that stuff's ugly. You know, it's like the guy at the last huge flea market went to St. Louis that had a vintage figure, like from the 70s, in a box, and the box was split, and the figure was missing his shoes and his little sticker. I can't remember his name.
From what?
It was some odd line Mattel made. Oh. I can't even think of what it was called now. But I remember I asked him, I was like, how much do you want for this? Thinking he's going to say 15 bucks. And he's like, 70. And I'm like,
Jesus.
I'm like, I looked at him, I'm like, 70 bucks. And he's like, well, yeah, it's in its box. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I opened it. I'm like, look, the box is split on the side. I'm like, he's not even secured in the box. I'm like, he's missing shoes. He's like, well, it's rare. And I'm like, dude, I see these at every toy show I go to. Like, every toy show and every huge flea market thing I go to, I see this figure. I'm like, how can you be asking $70 for this? And he's just like, well, that's, you know, that's what I saw it listed for on eBay. And it's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Did somebody ask for that on eBay? Or did it sell for that on eBay?
Right.
So, I promised last episode we would talk, finally talk about our thoughts on the short-lived series of Collection Intervention.
Oh, the Yabba Dabba Don't.
Yeah, if I had a slide whistle, I'd do it right now. Yabba Dabba Don't was, it was Flintstones figures, and what was the other one that was featured in that?
Oh, was it, oh, shoot. It was the guy that put stuff together.
Oh, the Kitbasher.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Yabba Dabba guy, the Yabba Dabba, you know, the Flintstones, the Hanna-Barbera guy had a lot of cool stuff, and she did not make him sell any of it, which was interesting. For once, that she did not make him, like, try to part with any of it. But I agree with everyone that was in that segment that he should display, like, they should, you know, I know that episode ended with him working, like, talking with the gallery owner about opening a more permanent gallery of that stuff. That would be stuff I would go to see because it's, you know, there's a lot of cool mystery there.
I liked it because he collected one type of thing.
Right.
One genre. Right. You know, it was a lot of. It wasn't all this. It wasn't all stuffed animals or all this or that, but it was all, like you said, Flintstones or whatever.
Hanna-Barbera. So, yeah. And that was cool.
It was neat.
Yeah. And then the Kitbasher guy, I mean, that's somebody who's taken 1/6 scale figures and, you know, buying different parts and pieces to turn them into other figures and, like, spend $1,000 on a Willy Wonka. I'm like, oh my God, dude. You know?
Yeah. That's a little. And he was like, don't tell my wife. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. That's what causes divorces.
Yeah, exactly. That's what came close to causing our divorce.
I mean, you don't hide things like that from your spouse.
No, that was... Luckily, mine was, well, you know, it was only like $400.
What?
Or $300, whatever
it was. Oh, the eBay. Yeah. I was like, Big Bird cost you $400? Yeah, no, okay, no, you're talking about... Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. All together. Sorry,
all together. Whew.
Apologize. Scare you there?
Yeah.
Get your heart beating? But I don't... That show... I know it didn't get picked up for second season. Thank God. Elise is... I could not watch that show. I mean, we watched every episode, but it's just like, it's painful to watch. It's just like, watching that show, I cannot tell the listeners how many times you and I paused that show to look at each other and go, what the hell?
Well, and then she brings the therapist in, and it's all awkward because those people don't even want to talk to that guy.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
He's not helping them.
And they only seem to add that towards the later episodes, like after the first couple and they were still shooting the other four or whatnot, they realized, oh, people are bitching because there's no actual intervention in Collection Intervention.
Right, but they're not doing it right. Like, those people are not open to it. They don't even, like, want to talk to the guy. It's just awkward the whole time they're sitting there discussing things. Right.
And I found it funny as the last couple episodes started to air that more and more stories of people that had been involved in the show or had witnessed it started to come
about
out
that.
About, you know.
Yeah,
about... The Kitbasher at the last episode, you know, he was talking about how when he signed up for the show, it was called Master Collector, and that was what it was supposed to be like. And then when they got there to do the show, they had changed everything dramatically, and they were like, you know, you signed a contract, and you've got to go through with this show, sorry. And it's like, wow, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem right to me. Like I said, depending how the contract read, if he thought he signed it going into it thinking it was something else, and then they changed it.
Right.
That
but at that
be...
point, if there's a camera crew at your doorstep, are you going to turn them away? You're going to be like, you know, that's
and then
probably...
you were saying, like, some of the stuff they were selling was set up.
David's, the episode with David with the Transformers, there were people at that show that were watching from the sidelines, and they
said... He was like at Frankenstein's or something, right?
That was a different convention. That was an actual, like, convention.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Where he had, like, a Transformers, his booth set up.
Right.
And people on the sides were saying that they would watch the producer stop somebody... Hand those people money. Those people will come up, buy something off the table, walk off camera, and then hand producers the item and the money. And yes, we've talked about it. I've been a very, very strong defender of the fact that reality TV isn't real. It's all staged.
No, but that's pushing it.
That is pushing it.
You're making people at home think that he's selling something for a certain price.
Right. When he's not making any money at all.
He's not selling it at all.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know.
Which was kind of, you know, all that whole thing is kind of shady, which might be one of the reasons why, well, Sci-Fi, one, probably didn't pick it up because the ratings probably blew. because everybody rallied against that show on. I mean, if you watch social media, that every night that show was on, people were attacking that show and attacking her and going, this is a horrible, horrible show. Get rid of this show.
It was sci-fi. A good idea. They just did not... I just don't like the way they did it.
Right.
Like, I thought it was a good idea. When you first originally told me about it, like, over the summer, I was like, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds really neat, because,
yeah, you know, exactly.
I want to be on it.
And then we watched it, and we were like, ugh.
I was like, this isn't what I thought at all.
This is, like, dirty. This is, like, this show's, this is like, it's got shingles or something. It's unclean.
Like, Edas Baron.
Edas Baron has shingles. Unclean. Unclean. I love that. I'm sure he hates me. He's like, shut up, I itch. But I'm sure in the end, Jordan Himbro's got to be dancing in the streets, because his show did so much better than anyone could have imagined. I mean, they're not even done air. There's still like maybe 5 new episodes to air. And they had already gotten, like, 3 weeks ago, got picked up for a second season. Right. Like, Travel Channel was like, yes. Because from what I understand, the ratings keep going up every episode and climbing. So I get a feeling Toy Hunter is going to become the new
Travel Channel. Well, he's just a likable guy, too. Absolutely. Like, he was on the Kevin and Bean show. We listened to their podcast on K-Rock.
Ralph Garman. If you guys don't listen to Kevin and Bean, or you don't listen to, there's a show on the Smodcast Network called Hollywood Babylon, which Carrie and I listen to every week, that is hosted by Kevin Smith of Clerks fame, the director, and Ralph Garman, who is one of the personalities on the Kevin and Bean show. He does their showbiz beat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great, great...
Impressionist.
Yeah. And hysterical. He is just so damn funny. But he had been calling, as they talked about Toy Hunter, we haven't gone back far enough to listen to those episodes of the show, but I guess he was calling the Toy Hunter the toy rapist, you know, just out of comedy. And Jordan was on there, and it was just a great interview.
And Ralph actually is super jealous.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
He kept saying, like, he wanted to do what Jordan was
he's
doing.
He's like, I want
to
do what you're doing.
Yeah, he's like, it's not fair, and... I'm going to go with you. And,
yes.
Yeah. It was a good interview.
Oh, no, it was a great interview.
And I loved how Jordan said that, like, a lot of stuff you don't see on the show, like, sometimes he'll go to leave and the people will be like, you know what, just take the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, what?
And the difference between Toy Hunter and Collection Intervention is, while Toy Hunter, while the producers do look for people with collections they're willing to sell and trying to see stories behind what these people have or who these people are, you know, not 9 times out of 10, every time Jordan actually does go there, spend his own money and he buys his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this stuff goes to his warehouse. I mean, he is buying this stuff from these people. And he's said a lot of times that, you know, what you see on camera is only a tenth of what actually occurs.
Right.
He's talked about, and even to me personally, he's talked about how he'll buy, you know, they'll do the stuff on camera, and then off camera, he'll just buy a bunch more stuff from people and offer them, you know.
When he said he always makes sure that they're okay with it.
Because he tells them, this is how much I'm going to sell it
for.
Are you okay with that?
Right.
And usually, he said, you know, pretty much every time the people are just, they're looking to get rid of the stuff that they have, and they don't care.
They want to make some money off of it, and it's easier just to sell it to him than to try to sell it on eBay or whatever. So
exactly.
But yeah, when he said that sometimes people just at the end will be like, just take the rest of it.
Right.
I was like, what?
Yeah, because a lot of times people will be like,
damn it.
I'm just going to throw all this away. Just take all
of it. I know. I was like, oh, why? Why? Why not us?
What?
Well, I mean, we could be making a living like he does.
We could. Well, we've talked about it before.
But again, he's on a TV show, so I'm assuming... Now, I don't know what he did before the show.
He did this before.
Okay.
This is what he does for a living.
You also have to factor in traveling costs and stuff like that, which
right.
they don't talk about that on the show.
Right,
you know what I mean? So,
I mean, now his traveling costs is being ponied up by Travel Channel.
Exactly.
Which is part of the deal with the show.
We wouldn't have a show.
No, exactly.
But I'm saying if we did what he was doing.
But you and I have talked about doing that here in town, about putting ads in Craigslist and stuff saying we buy vintage toys and seeing what happens.
Yeah, we'd be competing with BG. I guarantee. Does he listen to this podcast?
No. He may, but I don't think he does. But we never say anything bad about BG that we haven't said to his face before.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think we would be in direct competition with BG because, and I've told BG this time and time again, that he overpays for probably 40-50% of what he's buying.
I know.
He is overpaying for the stuff.
We've talked about him before, and I've asked you, like, does he ever actually make a profit, or is it all just the same money? He's just using the same $100 over and over.
It's pretty much the same money, it seems.
Buys it for $100, sells it for $100, buys it for $100.
Not, a good example of that is the guy, you know, when we went over to look at the display cases, the Detolfs we talked about last week, and how, you know, that wasn't BG's deal. That was the guy he was dealing with. But it's, again, it's like those are the people you surround yourselves with. And, you know, this guy's asking $200. And had BG been more of a knowledgeable soul on what he had in his living room, he would have been able to tell this guy, no one's paying $200 for these, dude.
Yeah, and he contacts you quite a bit and asks you about things because he doesn't know.
We talk on a pretty regular basis, you know. I had promised him I was going to buy one of those Detolfs, and then things kind of went south for us last week. And
well, because he only ended up having one that he wanted to sell,
right?
And Dave wanted it.
Well, Dave doesn't want it.
Oh, he doesn't want it.
Dave said apparently Cherry lives like 10 minutes away from IKEA,
right?
And Dave was like, "I'm just gonna have her go and buy me some." I'm like, "Oh,
okay. Well, why wouldn't he just pay $50 for this one and not 70?
Well, $20. I mean, you know, she can go buy and put him in her apartment, and he can just pick him up when we go to King County. But only because I had asked him, he was like, you know, that was more your thing than mine. He's like, if I really want one, I'll just have Cherry buy them, which makes sense, I guess. He's like, that's your thing. And he's like, I like them. I think they're neat. He's like, but I don't really have a place for it right now. So
neither do we.
No, neither do we. But I mean, technically we do. I would just have to
we'd have to move stuff around.
I'd have to move the bookcases down in order to slide it next to the other one, which, that's fine. I don't know if I want to do it or not.
Right.
Because I have to unload those bookcases to move them.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
How about no?
Remember when we moved in, we spent 2 days unloading books from boxes and putting them on bookcases? And that we only had 2 bookcases then?
Mm-hmm.
2 tiny bookcases?
And now we're up to like 6?
There's 4 down there. Quit exaggerating.
What?
There's 4. You're overselling the bookcaseness.
Okay. They're not small ones, though. They're regular size.
There's 2 big ones and 2 medium ones.
Okay.
And they're full.
Mm-hmm.
They are
like
full.
Literally things stacked on top of each other.
Yes. Pretty bad. But that's the thing, you know, is that BG, he sees something that catches his eye. Like right now, it's vintage Master of the Universe, Silverhawks. I'm trying to think of what the other one he's big into. He's been buying a lot of like mint and box stuff, but he's been paying eBay prices for the stuff. And then listing it, taking it to shows for, you know, well over the eBay price he paid for it. Because, of course, he's going to try to make his money back.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you're... And I told him, I was like, dude, you overpaid for this. I'm like, there are a number of people who give me shit for talking about what I would pay for certain things. And I don't want to sound like I'm trying to cheapskate someone or lowball someone. But it's like, there's a certain... Like, when I was watching eBay, I wasn't just watching current auctions. I was looking to see what stuff had ended at.
Right.
I was looking at ended auctions too to see, okay, this is about the price that it's ending at. This is the normal price that people are paying for this stuff multiple times. So I would pay maybe 5% below that, maybe 10.
Right.
You know, not a lot, but it's like, this is what I'm willing to pay. Whereas BG is just like, somebody comes in with a Master's collection and he's like, I'll take it. Here's $1,000.
Without even really looking through it and like trying to figure out how much each piece would be.
Yes.
Well,
and Dave and I have talked about it before. The BG continuously he does this thing where he'll buy a huge like G.I. Joe, for example. He'll buy a huge G.I. Joe collection and he'll sit on it, and then he'll sell that whole collection, and then he'll buy that collection again, and then he'll sit on it and sell it and buy it. I mean, it's like a not the same collection, but the same stuff over and over and
this
over
is a
again.
Revolving door of G.I. Joes.
G.I. Joes and everything. It used to be Star Wars, then it turned into G.I. Joes. Now it's Vintage Masters. You know, it's a number of different things. And again, that's how he, you know, I mean, he's not hurting for money. He's not, you know, living day to day, check to check. You know, he's making some of his money back and then some, which I guess is fine. But if we were to do it, you know, it would be a different story. It would literally be me looking through every piece going, you know, like when Dave brought over Master's figures for a friend of his that he was trying to sell. And I sat on the floor and went through every figure. And he was like, you know, the guy's trying to get, you know, $10 to $12 a piece a figure. And I'm like, well, that's great. They're, you know, they've all got their weapons and stuff. But, you know, with Masters, I'm like, you know, these, I made like 3 different stacks. I was like, these are good. These he can probably get $10 a pop for. Like, these, the legs are loose. I'm like, all the rubber bands on the legs are rotting away, and they're wobbly. I'm like, he's not going to get more than maybe $6 more, maybe $5. And then I came across a bunch of them that the waists, because they have, you know, you would turn their waist and let them go, and they would have spring action punches. And the waists are broke. I'm like, he's not going to get more than, waists and legs and most of those. I'm like, he's not going to get more than maybe $2 or $3 a figure for these. Maybe. And I was like, Dave's like, well, I'll just part out and sell out the weapons. I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, you'll probably get, you know, most of your money worth back for that, but it's going to take a while to sell, you know, pieces of weapons and stuff. But that's what I would do. I would go through every piece. I would look the person truthfully in the eye and go, this is what's wrong with this figure. This is why I won't offer you what you're asking. I'm not saying it to be rude, but these are the problems that I can see and hold in my hand and look at. Even though it's a vintage figure, it's complete, that's fine. But with the defects in what it is, because it's been played with, because of all that, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, what do? You're just like, this is what I'm offering you, sir. And then, you know, or ma'am, if that's not what you think you can get, I have no, there's no hard feelings. By all means, take your product to someone else. I don't have, you know.
Right, and they'd probably go to BG then.
They'd go to BG or they'd take it to Killen.
Yeah.
You know, Killen would super low ball him.
I was going to say, doesn't he even like, he's like really low the ball.
Oh, really low.
Well, because, the people that go in there and sell stuff, they just want some money to go buy stuff they probably shouldn't be buying.
Now, I've taken quite a bit over the years to Killen.
Yeah, but to sell from what I've heard, though, from some of his clientele,
some of the
people that go in there, they're willing to take
next to nothing.
Because they just want to go buy something they probably shouldn't.
Whereas he knows if I come in with, like, with something and I'm like, you know, I know this is how much it retailed for, I know this is how much it's selling for, this is what I want, and he usually gives that to me. Because I've usually figured it out and gone, you're going to make this much money on it, so this is what I'm asking for. And he's like, okay, that's fair.
Right.
You know, he never has a problem with that.
And I'm not saying that what he's doing is wrong.
No.
I mean, if people are willing to sell it for that cheap, then go for it. I mean, he's got to make a living.
Right. I mean, that's like people would bring in whole DVD collections, like thousands of discs, thinking they're going to get $3-4 a disc. And because, you know, Blu-ray was so proliferant, and DVD prices had dropped so far, he was only giving people $1 a disc.
Yeah.
Towards the end there, 50 cents a disc. Because he literally, he was taking in so many DVDs that if you were to go in the bathroom there at the store, all you can do is walk down this tiny little pathway, pee, and then walk out. I mean, there are just hundreds of thousands of DVDs in that store.
That's crazy.
You know, it's all, to him, it's all product. It's all merchandise. He'll sit on it for as long as he wants because he's put hardly nothing into it.
Right.
And he'll make money off it because he's selling it for, you know, not retail, but, you know, he'll buy a disc for $1.75 and turn around and maybe sell it for $7, $8. So, you know, I mean,
do people still buy movies?
Yeah.
Do they?
Okay. Yeah.
Because
The Avengers came out. It was the biggest selling release in a long time.
I didn't know people still were. I didn't know if Blu-ray, DVDs were still.
Oh, yeah. Blu-ray still, you know, DVDs are still huge. I don't buy them as much anymore because, you know.
Just the occasional, like the Muppets.
Right.
Something really special.
Like the Avengers, stuff like that, you know. It's not like it used to be with me where I was buying pretty much every new release. I mean, I still love movies, but after a while I was just like, why am I buying all this shit? And now, like, I saw the other day that the 87 Masters of the Universe movie came out on Blu-ray. And I'm like, I got it on DVD. Why the hell am I going to buy it on Blu-ray? What? How much better can it look on Blu-ray? This movie was done in 87.
I wish you would have had this mindset like years ago.
Well,
don't you have many movies downstairs that you have on DVD and Blu-ray?
Yes, I do.
And you also have many movies that you have the first, second, and third of, and then you also have the box set of?
Yes, okay. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
My mind's been...
Do you see why I think that's kind of dumb?
Well, think about it, though. My mind's been rewired because we've been together for so long that the things you say and tell me actually do seep into my head and ferment there. Surprisingly.
Well, I don't want you to do stuff just because I tell you. I want you to do it because it makes sense.
I'm not saying in a bad way. It does make sense. Okay. It you know...
Why do you need a movie on DVD and Blu-ray?
Right.
Why do you need the first, second, and third sequel, and then also buy the box set when it comes out? Why don't you just wait and buy the box set when it comes out?
Right. And the funny thing is, half the time the box set has... Well, like, okay, let's put this example. Last Christmas, not last Christmas, last Black Friday, the Thanksgiving night, we were sitting in Walmart and we were going to buy Transformers: Dark of the Moon on Blu-ray.
Right.
And we bought it for I think I bought it on Amazon.
I think like, it was like $12.99. $12.99,
yeah. Well, 5 months later, they bring out a 3D Blu-ray version of it that has all the bonus extras on it that they never announced.
They always do that.
I was like, you sons of bitches.
I keep telling you, that's how they get you.
And the only reason we bought it at Thanksgiving was because it was $12. And we're like, we were there, we were buying stuff anyway.
Right.
So we were buying stuff for Christmas.
Well, but we ended up getting it on Amazon because we couldn't get it at the $12.99 price until like a certain time. And we were like, we're not waiting. Yeah. And yeah, but.
So I just bought it on
my phone. They
always
do that. Every time a new movie comes out. Most of the time, don't they come out with another one later?
Well, it's like I looked at Dark Shadows, which you and I both went to see. And we both kind of, I liked it. You liked bits of it.
I liked it, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Well, I looked at the Blu-ray today at Walmart just to see. I'm like, what did they put on it? Nothing. Not a thing.
Well,
nothing at all. I'm like, so, wow.
But are they? Christmas is coming. Are they going to come out with another one?
That's the thing.
See?
And then today I just saw a picture. I was looking on Twitter before I left work and saw a picture that I don't remember what company it was, but they announced the like the 30th anniversary Masters Universe box set. And basically it's, if I read it right, it's the entire 80s Master Universe cartoon series, the entire New Adventures of He-Man series, and the entire 2000 series.
I bet I know somebody who's going to buy that besides you.
I don't want it. I'm like, why? I'm like, why would I buy that? I'm like,
don't you have all that?
I do. I've got most
of
it.
You just don't have it in a nice little box. Right. That's the only difference.
It's on 22 discs.
Oh my God.
Right?
That's too many.
It's got, well, here's the kicker, and this is what made me go, wow, they're really, really raping people. Because this is now like the fourth or fifth time. No, I take that back. I'm exaggerating that number. This is probably the fourth time that this collection has been brought out through different companies now.
Really?
But it's like the box. It comes with all those discs. Wow.
Whoa!
Wow. Comes with all those discs. comes with a special.
22 discs.
Oh my God. It comes with a special disc that's all like the Filmation animated like music. Comes with a disc that has a documentary on it. And then I saw the one thing that made me go, oh my God, they are just going to bend over toy collectors and just put it up the butt. Was in the corner was this little, was the sticker on everything that shows what it is. It says, free collectible, Masters of the Universe Classics Power Sword included. I'm like, oh, I bet you money that is either going to be a redesigned vintage Power Sword that's going to be exclusive to this set, that Classics collectors who are completists will buy this box set, even though they own two or three versions or two versions of this of those DVDs, they will buy a third version just so they can have that sword to complete their collection.
And how much was it?
I did not see a price, but I'm guessing.
It's got to be a couple hundred.
It's probably going to be $100. For 22 discs?
I bet it's more than that.
It's probably going to be $100.
I bet it's more.
That's kind of like the Time Life Power Rangers thing. It was like $270.
Right,
bucks,
that's what I'm thinking.
But it was like 42 discs or something like that. You know, it's like, good God. You know, and well, I mean, look at my Real Ghostbusters thing. That was 3, 6, 9, 12. That was probably almost 30 discs. And I think I paid $200 for that. So it's like, wow, you know, it's. But including that small toy in there that completists are going to go, I have to have that.
But you don't have to.
Completists are going to say they do.
Stop being a completist.
I am not a completist. I haven't bought a Masters Universe Classics figure in 2 years. I stopped. Now, they did announce that they were going to offer a pre-order this, I don't know when, this fall, this winter. They're actually going to do a Castle Grayskull playset that's scaled to those Classics figures. I will buy that. I will put money aside to buy that because
really?
I'm like, I would buy a playset.
Well,
stopped
maybe
buying
you
the figures.
Maybe you should ask Santa Claus for it.
Well, here's the thing. It's not coming out until 2013 fall.
Oh,
they're doing
next
what
fall.
What they're doing is they're doing pre-orders for it in order to see if they hit the pre-order numbers they need to, then they will go to production with it. But you won't actually
they're
get
gonna
charged.
Hit the pre-order.
Yeah,
they're going to hit it.
You won't get charged until it ships that fall, is what they're saying. But I'm sure you'll have to put up like $50 or whatever when you pre-order it. Well, that's fine. I'll put up the $50 to pre-order it, knowing I have a whole year to save up the $200 they're mm-hmm. saying it's going to retail
well,
for.
Merry Christmas to you in 2013.
Yes. But I saw that and I was like, you know, one of these days I'd like to get a vintage Castle Grayskull to put with my vintage figures. I'm like, oh, that would make sense in my collection to have a vintage castle, a 2000 castle, and a Classics castle.
If the people could see me right now.
Because you're rubbing your temples in
like,
pain.
I'm just like, why it's the same thing. Is it pretty much the same? What's the difference?
No, they're all different playsets. They all look like, they all look the same, but they all have different things inside them.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god. What? Oh Lord, please give me patience to not slap you.
And the funny thing is, we're talking about
where would you put them? You had a hard enough time figuring out where to put the one that we when we rearranged down there.
My 2000 version that was on
whatever
the,
version.
By the
same, I don't know. I didn't know they had 12 different Castle Grayskulls.
No, just soon to be three. I will find a place for that. I will find a place.
Yeah, you could put it in the place of the other one you have.
What am I going to do with that one then?
I don't know.
But then that one doesn't have a home, and then I'll be sad. I will be a sad Jason. No Castle Grayskull home for me. Oh, baby, don't look at me with those doe eyes. Poor thing. I love you, you goof. I do. We actually have a couple questions. We have an audio one from, not a question, more of a feedback from Blanchard. Mike, if you could see my wife, she's shaking her head.
Oh, no. What did I do now?
Well, let's take a listen to that, and we'll answer. We got a question. Yoda Soup finally popped back up after all this time. Apparently, he got married over the summer. Congratulations to him.
Awesome.
And he's kind of been behind because they were planning the wedding and everything, and he's catching up on the shows. So Yoda Soup has come back to the forums, and he has got a question for us. So we'll listen to Mr. Blanchard's, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Spare me this mockery of justice.
Hello, Jason and Carrie. It is I, TF2 and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I'm calling in for feedback from the past week's Married to the Collection. That last week's episode was way better than all six episodes of Collection Intervention. I'm sorry to say that, but it was. I actually found myself, oh hey, a Collection Intervention podcast. I found myself saying that when I was listening to you guys. As far as the need to collect, I got back into collecting in 2008. I've told you guys this before. I spent way too much money on 5 G1 Transformers back in 2008. But it's one of those things where, and Jason has said this before in the podcast, where for some people it's reconnecting with your childhood. And certain characters or certain things have certain meaning to certain people. You know what I mean? And I also understand Carrie's point of, you know, why do you need to have every single thing from every single 80s line ever? I know one of my other friends that does podcasting with me, Michael Wilson, his wife only allows him to have a collection of Transformers. And the dude has an entire office basement, shelves deep of Transformers, and it's an awesome, awesome collection. But I, you know, it's one of those things where you have to limit it, and you have to, you know, figure it out, and whatever else. For me personally, collecting, and I'm not going to get into the whole downward spiral into Maddie Madness that I went through. Jason knows all about that. It's one of those things where between 2009 and last year, I had moved different, because of the program that I'm in, the HUD program I'm in, I had to move like six different times. So all of my collection was in boxes. I didn't have, because I was moving different apartments, they weren't all the same space as what I had moved from. At the time, I was working for a company that allowed me to have a an apartment free of rent, and I would provide, you know, on-site security type of deal, you know, that kind of thing. And the apartment was a two-bedroom apartment. It was very, very large. Living room was large. Second bedroom was kind of, you know, like a storage area. But it's one of those things where I had all that space, and then I had to condense it down into a one-bedroom apartment. And I just lost interest in collecting. Do I still think the toys look great? Sure I do. I think I was bidding on a G1 blaster last week, and it was the first time I had like done any active like bidding on Transformers toys or toys in general on eBay in God knows how long. The only time I really go on eBay is if my friend Callie, that makes the Puggleformers, She puts up some of her eBay auctions and stuff, and I'll bid on those. But I have no pressing need to go to eBay and just look at stuff. I still love toys. I still, you know, love looking at the toys. I actually just... Jason's going to kick himself for this. Because G1 Soundwave has such a meaning for me, a couple weeks ago I went over to BBTS and I pre-ordered one of the masterpieces that comes out in December. Because I have stated in many other podcasts and everything else that I want a masterpiece Soundwave. That would be my masterpiece. Because I love the original toy and the original cassette so much. Same thing with Blaster. Blaster, I had Blaster on his cassettes. I never had Soundwave as a kid, but that wanting of Soundwave, not necessarily a need, but that wanting to have Soundwave as a kid, and the fact that one of my best friends had him and would never let me play with the damn thing. What a bastard he was. Anyway, you know, it's not so much as a need. It's a want to reconnect to your childhood. As far as cutting back on stuff, I, and Dave can attest this. I told Dave Draper in one of our off-air sessions of recording, I have absolutely no need, when I'm in a Walmart or a Target or wherever, you know, general store, I have no need to go to the toy aisle. Absolutely not. Not even to see it, because I'm online all the time and I see the pictures of whatever's coming up and whatever's coming out, and that's, you know, that's enough for me. I'm losing steam here, as you can tell. But, you know, I still love toys. I've just lost the need or the feeling of wanting to collect stuff. And plus, God knows when I'm going to have to move again. Anyway, really enjoyed last week's episode. Very, very awesome. Keep up the good work, guys. I will talk to you later. And I think Megatron has something to say.
Now face our darkest hour.
So does that help you ID maybe what I'm always talking about, how I can't explain the want and need? Like, Mike pretty much laid it out pretty well.
No, I mean, I understand your side of it. I'm just... I don't know.
Well, thank you, Mike, for the kind words. And yes, I am... No, I did not pre-order my Soundwave, and
yeah, I didn't. Is this the really expensive toy that you wanted?
I'm not going to. I'd like to, but
did somebody not save his allowance?
No, things came up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, that's what happens.
Is he not going to be available after this?
No, he may be, but it's hard to say with those. Like, they're not available for too terribly long. Like, they come in stock and they sell out, and they come in stock and they sell out, and then they just never come back. So,
well,
yeah.
Is your life gonna?
No, he'd be cool to have, but my life will go on.
Okay.
Sorry. Yoda Soup says, "My question is for Carrie, and forgive me if this question has already been asked, as I'm still trying to catch up on listening to the show. With doing this podcast each week and listening to Jason ooze love for toys, that sounds very dirty. Mm-hmm. You were obviously learning more about toys. Do you also find that you have more of an appreciation or love for toys?" That's the end of the question. No. Not at all?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Doing this with you has helped me really, like, learn more about you and your obsession or whatever you want to call it. I don't really appreciate toys anymore. I appreciate your love for them.
Right.
But the actual toys themselves,
right,
I don't care.
Which is another thing on Collection Intervention they always seemed to, like, stick upon, was that the women had no appreciation for what the husbands were doing. Or boyfriends. And a lot of that, again, was staged, but it's like, Jesus Christ, people. How are... You knew what he did before you got together.
Right.
Well, why did you say yes?
Right. Well, I don't know.
Well, you
were just kidding.
Yours was a different tale.
No, I don't appreciate the toys themselves, but I appreciate your love for them. And
yeah.
I've always said that I would never, you know, make you stop. I just try to make you scale back a little bit.
Right. That's always a good idea.
You know, I still don't quite get it. Like, the whole reconnecting with your childhood. Like, why do you actually have to have the toy to do that?
Yeah.
Why can't you just reconnect in your heart?
Oh, well.
You know what I mean? I know it sounds really corny, but why do you need the actual toy in front of you to reconnect?
Right. Well, true. And that's a hard point to either argue or, you know, I just can't do it.
I appreciate, you know.
I know you do. I love you. Well, there you go, gang. That'll bring us to the end of another episode of Married to the Collection here on ToyWorldOrder.com on a Friday. Next week, we'll be back on a regular time on Tuesday.
Oh, so we have to do this again in like 2 days?
Yeah, pretty much.
What are we going to talk about?
We'll figure it out. We've got all weekend to figure it out.
I like having 7 days in between my 1 hour talk with you.
That's fair, I suppose.
No, we might have stuff to talk about. Oh, we might will. Go yard sailing or something this weekend. The Spoon River Drive is this weekend. We might.
Yeah, we may do that on Saturday.
We'll see what happens, what the weather's like.
But there you go, gang. Something I keep forgetting to say on Dave and the Ball, but we are now on Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher.
If you go to Stitcher.
Are we on Zune?
No, we're not on Zune. We're not the Crab Feast.
Sorry. That's another podcast we listen to. And they always make fun because they've got a couple people that like to listen to it on Zune. Network, and they're like, what the hell is Zune?
What the hell is the Zune? We are on Stitcher. You can find us if you go to Stitcher. If you look up Toy World Order, you can find both this program and Dave and the Ball's Toys and Collectibles all in one nice place. And unlike iTunes, you can actually see every friggin' episode, whereas iTunes only displays the last four or the last two of each episode. Why, I don't know.
No, they don't do that for other podcasts.
No, I don't know why ours is different.
I was going to say, the other ones I listen to show, like all of them. I
have no idea why, but you can only ever see four of our shows.
I guess we're not special.
Apparently not. That's all right. But you can find us on Stitcher.
And watch our flea market finds.
That's right. Carrie and I were on the... Carrie co-hosted the last two flea market finds. The one just... number 9 went up yesterday. I'm going to go downstairs here in a little while and film number 10. Yeah, I know. I got enough down there. I got to do something. So, yeah, Carrie co-host, and they're a lot of fun. There's a lot of kids meals, a lot of Happy Meal toys, Burger King kids meal toys, a lot of fast food premiums. So, there's a lot of cool stuff there, which is Carrie's appreciation of the toy world because she likes all the little stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check those out. You can find those on toyworldorder.com. You can find those on our YouTube channel as well. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube, you can go there, check out, just go to YouTube, look up Toy World Order, subscribe to our channel. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Puppet Duvall, and you can follow Carrie at Miss Duvall. And you can go to the forums at toyworldorder.com. Join. It's absolutely free. You can join in all the conversations there. You can even leave questions for this show as well as Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right there on the forums. So make sure you check that out. And there you go, gang. And we will be back Tuesday at our regular time, our regular slotted time there on Tuesdays.
Yep.
So we will see you then, guys. Hope you have a good weekend and hope you find lots of cool toys if you're going out this weekend.